Hey, what up, and welcome back to another episode of Big Screen Breakdown. Got a little something special for you guys today, a little bonus episode, in between episode, I guess you could say. I got a group of friends that I talk with over Twitter and text messages, whatever. We talk about movies, we talk about movie news, and they wanted to come on the show and talk about the Marvel Studios news that there may or may not be a Spider-Verse live action movie in the works because of Doctor Strange being added. Whatever, we will talk about it in the show. That's what we're gonna do today. It's a little bonus episode, so enjoy, guys. Thank you guys again for joining me. I got my buddies here with me today to talk some Spider-Man news. I got all the way from across the pond, Mr. Ryan Nevin from Life of Films. What's going on, Ryan?
Hey, Mikey, thanks for having me on, dude.
Of course, of course. And then from the great state of Utah, the America's favorite state, Mr. Andre Hutchins of Backseat Directors. What's going on, Andre?
Mikey, thanks for having me on, man. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you guys. We have a third in our little quadro, whatever you call it here, Mr. Formal Review, but he'll get here when he can. Because time is of the essence, and it's hard with four different time zones and people in different countries trying to get us all working together. So let me just jump right into it.
What window do we work with? It's there's quite a mixture of times, isn't there?
Well, between me and you is a 12-hour time difference. Me and Andre is a 1-hour time difference. Me and Formal, it's a 3-hour time difference. So all the math in there.
Yeah.
So let's just jump right into it, because I know I want to honor your guys' time here. Well, the Hollywood Reporter has broken the news that now Benedict Cumberbatch has been added to their third installment of the Tom Holland Spider-Man movies. And this is thrown on top of the fact that Jamie Foxx confirmed that he's returning as Electro. Now, we don't know if that's the Electro from Amazing Spider-Man 2 or if that's a different version of Electro, but all theories, all fans are pointing to Spider-Man, Spider-Verse, Multiverse, Doctor Strange is there. What do you guys think about it? Do you want this to happen? I want to know. We're going to start with Ryan because he seemed the most enthusiastic about this in our group chat. Ryan, do you want there to be a live-action Spider-Verse? Go.
Yes. Simple answer.
Okay.
I think my want for it comes from two different angles. One, the Into the Spider-Verse film is probably one of the best Spider-Man films up there. It's definitely been the top three for me personally, and I think many people would agree. It's up there. It's brilliant the way they handled such a quite a complex story, and brought in something that people aren't really used to. Was brilliant. It was very well put. So it gives us a bit of confidence that Sony can do something similar like mm-hmm. that. So very much so from an execution perspective, and from the other side, I was a massive fan of the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man films. Admittedly, there were some areas that I think they're very weak in, specifically the villains, but I liked Andrew Garfield himself as Spider-Man, and obviously Tobey Maguire was the Sam Raimi Spider-Man films, take out Spider-Man 3, but I didn't mind it too much, were also brilliant, but also have a massive nostalgia side to those as well, because obviously they really introduced the world to the superhero genre, along with X-Men. So from enjoyment of that to enjoyment of Spider-Verse, if they can execute and bring it together, I don't see why this couldn't be done and why it shouldn't be done, because it just, if they can get it all put together, then bring it on. I'm really excited for it.
And Sony's been looking for their billion-dollar film. So for those of you who don't know, Sony owns the movie rights to Marvel, or to Spider-Man, I should say, and they have agreement with Marvel Studios to let Spider-Man be in Marvel Studios movies. So Sony gets a lot of the money back from this. Andre, what do you think, man? Spider-Verse, do you want to see it?
Well, yeah, I was going to say they don't just own Spider-Man's rights, but they own the entire Spider-Man universe. So from other heroes to villains, yeah, they own it all, which is why
everyone who has been built under the Spider-Man comic book brand. So his co-heroes that are in there, like Black Cat or Silver Sable, there's supposed to be a movie about them. All of his villains, all of his locations and minor characters, they own all of that. So go on.
Maybe I'm not as enthusiastic as Rye, but it's definitely something I'm interested in seeing. I think there's a level of maybe catharsis for like Andrew Garfield, who did not have the greatest of endings with his relationship with Sony and Spider-Man, because from from what I remember, he was supposed to have a third movie, but
Oh, yeah.
they did not let make that third movie happen. But and I really liked Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man. Maybe his movies weren't as good as Sam Raimi's directed Spider-Man movies, but I thought as Peter Parker and as a Spider-Man character, he was really good. Obviously, I think we're all fans of Tom Holland as Spider-Man and Peter Parker, even though I agree with Rye that those are maybe the weakest Spider-Man movies out of the three guys. But no, it's interesting. It is interesting. What I guess I'm actually more interested to see how Tom Holland could be introduced into the Spider-Man universe that Sony's creating outside of the MCU.
So like your Venom and your Morbius in those movies?
Exactly. And we've seen in the Morbius trailer that they had like a poster of, you know, Spider-Man.
Right.
Even though the suit was a little ambiguous on whose suit that was. It looked more like the suit from the video game than any of the other like cinematic Spider-Man suits. But
well, it was actually a little fun fact for you, Andre. It was actually the Sam Raimi Spider-Man suit, but it was a picture that they use as a load screen in the Spider-Man PS4 video game. So literally somebody just copied and pasted that in the trailer. I don't know what they plan to do with that, but I'm sorry, continue.
Well, no, in trailers, I mean, we know trailers don't always show like the final result of what the movie's going to be. I mean, there's plenty of trailers that show lots of scenes that are usually cut and, you know, or removed from the final cut of the movie. But
right.
No, it's cool. It's cool. I think it's going to be really challenging. I think this will probably be more challenging to incorporate a collective group of characters like this than opposed to like the Avengers movies where you're bringing all your heroes together.
Right.
But because you're bringing we're talking, you know, different decades. I mean, when did the first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movie come out?
2002.
So, I mean, we're almost 19 years removed from that movie, you know, so these are, you know, lots of different generations. Lots of time has passed. And I don't mean generations. I just mean generational type. Like I was in high school, like when the Sam Raimi movies came out, right? You guys were a lot younger than I was, you know. But so yeah, I think it's going to be challenging. You know, all the different Spider-Man movies have all had different directors, having kind of that collective vision for what the Spider-Man universe movie could potentially be is going to be pretty challenging. But yes, overall, looking forward to it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, just got a little classier in here. We are joined by the formal review. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm good. How are you, Mikey? Sorry, I'm running a little late.
No, man, it's all great. We just, you know, all these different time zones, and Andre's got to go soon, so we just wanted to get started. But you only missed the first question, and I opened up with something easy. Live-action Spider-Verse movie, do you want to see it?
I'm fine with it. I think that it's definitely, it'll bring in, I think Andre was touching on it a little bit. It's definitely going to be interesting in bringing in like all the characters from the older movies. Some of which I like, some of which I don't like. But simply, I am looking forward to it. I do have concerns about it, but I think we can get to that in a little bit.
Okay. Sweet. Now I'm gonna bring us all back to reality for a second here, because I'm a big comic book guy. I love reading the comic books. A lot of people just enjoy the movies and they leave it at that. I like the comic books. So back in 2007, 2008, I think it was. I think it was 2007. There was everybody's favorite, and when I say that, I say it sarcastically because a lot of people really didn't like this storyline called Spider-Man One More Day. And right before this, in the Marvel's Civil War comic book storyline, Spider-Man reveals his secret identity to the world and says, "Hey, I'm Peter Parker, everybody. This is who I am." And then, spoiler alert for anybody who cares, but in this comic book, Aunt May dies, and Spider-Man goes to Doctor Strange to try to bring her back. And Doctor Strange says, "Hey, it can't be done." Spider-Man goes and makes a deal with the devil, or Mephisto, and it shakes up his whole entire universe. And how they fix it eventually is that Doctor Strange wipes everybody's memory of who Peter Parker was, or who Spider-Man was, the fact that Spider-Man was Peter Parker. Now, Spider-Man Far From Home with Tom Holland ended with the world finding out that Spider-Man is Peter Parker. So to bring us all back to reality, could that be the only reason that Doctor Strange is going to be in this third movie? Just to help wipe out the world's memory of the fact that Spider-Man is Peter Parker? Are we all just jumping to a further conclusion and it's not that serious? I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think that's a good point. I'm unfamiliar with that story. So if that is, that's one I've not really heard of. So that does make a lot of sense from what the evidence suggests that. So I think from what you've just said now, from my perspective, I wouldn't be surprised if that did happen. Mm-hmm. Because, that makes perfect sense. For me, the argument that he's involved more in the multiverse, I think carries the same weight of what you've just said personally, because of the fact that his next film is about a multiverse.
Right.
And obviously we have Jamie Foxx coming in, and we have all the clues that are in Morbius, for example, with the picture of the old suit in the background, etc. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Sony needs to work a way of linking Venom and their universe, Spider-Man. So there's lots of things going on for the evidence to suggest that. But what you've just said also makes sense, and now that's kind of made me a little bit disappointed in the fact that that could also be a reason.
I'm sorry to ruin it, but it made me think about it. I was like, oh yeah, Doctor Strange is the one who wiped the world's memory, and everybody knows who Spider-Man is now.
That makes sense. So that for me now has maybe watered down my expectations a little bit, because that does make perfect sense. But I still think there is strong evidence to suggest, and I think Jamie Foxx is the big one, especially the picture that he posted on Instagram, which he had to take down, whether that was intentional or not, because that's a pretty stupid thing to do if it wasn't intentional. I reckon it was, and it was because Tom Hardy did something similar as well, didn't he?
You really think it was intentional?
Here we go.
Sony gave him permission to post it and then said, okay, delete it. Like, this was just a big PR stunt.
Because Tom Hardy did the exact same thing. Do you remember? With a picture of him Venom eating
Him
as well. Yeah. So it's a little bit like both of the villains, like, you know what I mean? This is getting, for me, it's a little bit silly that Tom Hardy did it and he had to put it down straight away. And now Jamie Foxx has done it and now he's had to put it down straight away. It's just a bit like, are these people this stupid? Are they just is it teasing? Because it creates a tease. If it gets pulled down, it does. Like, we're talking about it now, like, it's not a fact. Right. It might be even testing the water, but yeah.
So all these things that connect or that we can, you know, we could put up a diagram and draw all these lines of conclusion to a Spider-Man or a live action Spider-Verse movie, the fact that they're bringing Jamie Foxx back. They've already got J.K. Simmons back. We don't know, you know, they could retcon that to be, oh, that's actually J. Jonah Jameson from the Raimi films. Doctor Strange is going to be in this movie, and his next movie is called, you know, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Sam Raimi, who directed the first three Spider-Man movies with Tobey Maguire, is directing that film and could consult on this film. But why shouldn't it be a multiverse movie? Do you guys have any reason why we should not go there?
Well, it's got to be what are your reasons for doing it? I mean, is this really just Sony's attempt to,
get some cheddar cheese?
No, for real. Of course. Now, I mean, you know, the financial gains for any of these movies is like the primary motive for what they're doing. But is this like a one-time thing? Do they have like a long-term plan? Is this going to play out over three movies? Is it going to mix into the MCU? Is it, you know, like, Is their vision of this Spider-Verse short-sighted? I don't really know, and I'm curious to know what your guys' thoughts are too.
I'm more on the sense of like it's, I guess, lazy storytelling, and I think it's just going to be it's an easy way for them to connect everything and just say, oh yeah, we had a plan the entire time. Mm-hmm. I mean, the DC, that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I think that as well. I think that it's kind of just like, yeah, that's true. Like, you can technically say that. I mean, I have, like, I have issues with this in just comics in general. I think it's just kind of lazy. And I get why they do it, because it allows for, like, other story and other interpretations and whatnot. But for me personally, it's just a lazy explanation for it. And because Sony, for the most part, has kind of been not really doing things well with connecting things, and they kind of want to make a relatively speaking easy way of getting into the MCU which this would allow, and it makes them look like, oh, they kind of had control over everything for the longest time, which obviously I don't think they have.
Right.
I do agree with you to a certain extent, but I think that X-Men were in a similar position with when they went down the New Riot First Class, and now I know that it wasn't essentially different universes, and Fassbender and McAvoy were just playing younger versions, but the First Class side of things was very different. The story that they were taking did not really match like the original X-Men films that we had. But then when they brought Days of Futures Past together, that's likely the best X-Men film for me personally. I think that film is brilliant.
Right.
So if they haven't planned it long term, even if you have the variables and you have a good storyteller, you can still create something decent. I think Days of Futures Past is something that they never planned to go down that route, but they had the variables there and they created something that was, in my opinion, is one of my favorite. First Class is my favorite X-Men film, and then I'd put Days of Futures Past a second. I think that was a genuinely a very, very good film, personally.
Yeah, Rye was saying, Formal, is that as a team movie, okay, you know, with all the X-Men in it, because we all love Logan, you know, but Logan, that's a Wolverine movie, whereas an X-Men movie, yeah, First Class and Days of Future Past are definitely up there. Andre, you seem like you got something you really want to say.
Yes, because Formal, you brought it up, man, and they're is no doubt in my mind that the announcement of this Spider-Verse, obviously they have been considering this. I mean, you got to know that they've been talking or thinking about this for a while. But we know that DC and Marvel have had a competitive, you know, spirit towards each other in terms of their movies. I mean, I feel like it's pretty well documented that, you know, like the likes of BVS coming out the same year as, you know, Civil War. Mm-hmm. These things don't happen by chance, right? Yeah. DC just recently, in the last few months, have, you know, released their announcement of what the Flash movie is going to be about. That is, right, this is going to kind of, we're bringing in multiple Batmans. We're going to bring back Keaton. We're going to bring, you know, Ben Affleck's going to make a cameo. Like,
and I bet Bale was just like, "Nah, I'm a serious actor."
He's just sick and tired of not being able to pee out of his bat suit.
That's a different conversation. But you gotta think. I mean, it's not a coincidence that this news is on the tail of the news of the Flash and what they're planning to do with the DC and creating their own multiverse in the DC. Even though I think DC's is much more short-sighted and reactive than Marvel's. I mean, Marvel has obviously been much more stable than the DC universe, but yeah, I mean, it's just funny. It's funny to see, like, these things are always kind of tied together between Marvel and DC. But
yeah, I saw
you have a template as well, right? Like I said, with Into the Spider-Verse, I feel right. They know what a successful template is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They know what people, how they reacted well to that as well. So if they followed a similar template, they have a kind of a bit more grounds for success, as long as they don't go too wild.
I just hope it's not just a live action version of that.
Make Tobey Maguire the old, like, has been.
Yeah, up that age.
I was talking to Lauren, like, him and Mary Jane didn't end up on the greatest of notes. Like, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They didn't get back together. So they not got back together, spiraled into a bit more of a depression sort of thing, and like the character in the cartoons, like Peter Parker.
Yeah, I saw. I you know, we get excited, and I got to bring us back down. I saw a tweet the other day that on the business side of things, I said earlier that Marvel and Sony have a deal to include Spider-Man in these MCU movies. Now that deal has been rocky. And originally it was for him to make 3 appearances in team-up films, so that's Civil War, Avengers Infinity War, and Endgame, and then 3 solo movies, which is Spider-Man Homecoming, Spider-Man Far From Home, and then this third one. After that, we don't know what's going to happen. So what if this is how they get Spider-Man out of the MCU? What if this is Doctor Strange opening up a portal to a multiverse in a world without Spider-Man, and Peter Parker feels the need to go and leave the MCU to help in the world where people like Morbius and Venom and those guys are existing. And that's how they, in canon, get Spider-Man out of the MCU.
So, like, and possibly, because Andrew Garfield might not come back, like I said to you, Jamie Foxx could be the link, and you could see possibly Tom Holland's Spider-Man going into like maybe like the Andrew Garfield universe.
What if he's the Spider-Man that's dead?
He's the Spider-Man that's dead. Yeah, mm-hmm. Because and that's like, and why the Jamie Foxx's character is still alive, and like the Electro could have been the reason for why that Spider-Man doesn't exist. So you could have Tobey Maguire, sadly no Andrew Garfield, which I don't think will happen. And yeah, and Jamie Foxx's Electro will be the link to that universe, and he has to fill the void there because there's no Avengers in that universe.
Exactly. And in a world where in the MCU, where there are team-up movies every, you know, 3-4 years, the next team-up movie they do, if there's no contract to have Spider-Man in there, normal fans are going to be like, "Why? Where's Spider-Man? Why isn't he here now?"
No, so Marvel's not going to let that happen. They can't. I'm telling you, man, they will do anything that they can. So as long as Sony holds the rights to the Spider-Man, to the movie rights to Spider-Man, they have Disney. They have Disney by
the cojones.
Okay, they do.
You heard it here first, folks.
They tried to play this game of okay, well we're not going to renew our contract with Sony. I don't mean to bring this up just because who knows? I mean, maybe the news is still too fresh, but eventually we are going to have to talk about Black Panther. With the passing of Chadwick Boseman, mm-hmm. Disney and the Marvel Cinematic Universe, they are in a predicament on what, you know, how to, who is going to rise above, who's going to lead this franchise. Like, there is no more Captain America. There's no more Iron Man. They're not going to bring them back. I mean, Robert Downey Jr. is done, and Chadwick Boseman is no longer here.
Well, they have Captain Marvel.
They may think that Brie Larson can carry this franchise. They are sorely wrong about that. But Tom Holland is the face of the MCU right now. He is, and they will do everything that they can to keep Tom Holland in the MCU.
Do you think that's just a dangerous game from a business perspective to put all your cards into
a character you don't even own?
Hands? Like, you know what I mean? Like, to put all of that weight and reliance on essentially someone else, another company, and if they decide one day they just want to pull the rug and go, you know what, you're not having Spider-Man and we don't care, that would just pull the rug completely out of the MCU.
I mean, the most successful Spider-Man movies have been the one that have been produced by Marvel Studios. They understand that. And so, like, they understand that the success of Spider-Man is now tied to the MCU. But it's just, I don't know. I just don't see Disney saying, okay, Sony, you can have Spider-Man back. No way. No way.
Yeah, Spider-Man's the bargaining chip. I mean, like, when they were, like, when that first deal, like, ended, like, wasn't there, if I remember correctly, there was, like, this, oh, everyone was saying, oh, will Sony will we see Tom Holland's version anymore? There was all that, like, hubbubaloo about that, right?
Right.
I mean, it really, Disney's going to pay up eventually. Like, they're going to give them money. Like, I think that's the thing. And Sony knows this. And I think because it's, like, arguably one of the most favorite, if not the favorite, of some fans, I mean, Sony knows this. And that's arguably one of their most successful just characters overall. I don't know what other characters, like, and not just, like, comic book characters, just, like, movies in general. Like, Sony comes out with random movies. I mean, they know that this character is worth a lot. Even if they end up, like, tanking, like, if they do pull the plug, they'll still be able to put out movies. And frankly, even if, I don't know the numbers of Spider-Man, the Amazing Spider-Man 2, but I mean, even with people not liking it, people still went to go see that. And I don't see it. I'm kind of in between y'all, because I think Rai has a point, because it's like, how do you invest in something so much and then there's a chance that Sony could honestly pull it? They most likely won't, but they could. And that's that uncertainty. At least if it were me investing money, I wouldn't invest all my money into that.
So, and so here's the thing to consider, though, too, is Sony used to own the merchandising rights to Spider-Man 2, but they sold those back to Disney.
Mm-hmm.
So the only rights that Sony still owns of Spider-Man are just for movies,
right?
Just movies, not even TV shows, cartoons. Spider-Man is like on the Disney Channel.
Yeah.
Why? Because Disney owns those rights.
You go to the, like, Disney store, Spider-Man, you buy Spider-Man toys. And
Spider-Man, yeah, Spider-Man is at Disneyland, and Spider-Man toys are sold everywhere. But Disney owns all of those. So the only thing that Disney does not own are his
those movie rights.
Movie rights. That's it. And so, yes, in a way, like, Disney would be propping up Spider-Man as a character that they essentially don't necessarily own within their movies, but they own everything else.
Okay, all right. So let's have a little bit of fun here to alleviate the situation, I guess. I want to know from you guys, and you can take some time to think about this if you want. I can edit it and post whatever. Who is one character who hasn't been announced from either, you can say, the Spider-Man universe or previous Spider-Man movies that you would want to see join Tom Holland in this live-action third movie if they make it a Spider-Verse movie? So if anybody has somebody off the top of their head, feel free to go. If you guys want me to go first, that's fine. Who do you guys want to see?
Honestly, Charlie Cox, Daredevil.
Yeah, we go.
I mean, he ties in extremely, obviously, well. They have had a lot of source material. Mm-hmm. There's obviously, I mean, the TV show, again, I just finished rewatching it, but it's really, everyone can pretty much say that that's the best overall show of those Marvel TV shows.
Oh, yeah, and, 100%.
Yeah, and so it's very easy, and I know, like, Charlie Cox is up for it, so you might as well bring him in, and that will obviously bring people money. And, I mean, a lawyer is really easy. You don't even have to have him suit up, though. If that works, they'll probably have to have him suit up at a later point. But, like, you could easily just have him come in and just be a lawyer. I don't know how in the story that would work. But...
Well, it's easy. He could be defending Peter Parker. People know that Peter Parker's Spider-Man.
Or people think, you know.
So City could be suing Peter Parker for damages. And then you could bring in, you know, Matt Murdock as his lawyer to be like, no, this kid's not Spider-Man. All this video footage was fake or whatever. That's an easy one. So good choice, yeah. Formal. Good choice.
Okay, I'll try and go, but to narrow it down to one is hard because it doesn't have to be the Charlie Cox as Daredevil. I've always been a massive fan of the Daredevil and Spider-Man's kind of friendship. Mm-hmm. If you will, I've always been a fan of that. So if they were to, I want Charlie Cox to be the Daredevil, but generally, if we're just talking from a character level and not actors, obviously, like, Fisk is massive. I'd played a massive part in the Spider-Man for me, from cartoon basis, growing up mainly on the cartoons as a kid from Spider-Man. He was a big part of that. And this is going to be one that I think you're going to laugh at, but how about we actually see Uncle Ben?
I mean, that
would be nice.
Now, do you bring back Martin Sheen?
See the most vital character in the Spider-Man story, like, to actually appear and show some sort of level of what impact he had on him now. I think we're 3 Spider-Man films deep, and I don't think we need to completely ignore who Uncle Ben was at all, and maybe actually bring a level of emotion on the part that he played in their family, and Tom Holland's Peter Parker growing up would be nice.
Who would you cast, Rye, as the MCU's Uncle Ben?
I don't know. That was one thing I really liked. I really liked Martin Sheen in Andrew Garfield. It's Martin Sheen.
Yeah, Martin Sheen. Yep.
I always get Michael and Martin Sheen mixed up. But yeah, like, I always thought he was a brilliant casting. But I don't know. I've never really thought too much about
Bryan Cranston.
Bryan Cranston.
Heisenberg.
Yeah. But you also have to have somebody who could be married to Marissa Tomei, you know. So
yeah, it's a bit more of a relevant age. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, I'm trying to wrap my brain. Let me come back to you on that one after.
I remember when people wanted Tobey Maguire to play Uncle Ben.
Yeah, that could have been interesting.
Just as a cool little.
Remember what's his face, the one who played Superman in the Adventures of Lois and Clark? He was in Supergirl. He was like Supergirl's adopted.
Yeah,
Dean Cain. That was it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So I'm gonna go down the same route that Rye is going down as well, because this is something that Rye's brought up a lot, and I have to agree. One of the weaker parts of MCU Spider-Man are the ancillary characters. Mm-hmm. Like, who are these characters? Even why do we even care about them? You know, the fact that the MJ really isn't MJ, that's just like her nickname that people call her, you know.
Yeah, she's not Mary Jane,
right? And that his best friend is some random person that is not even, you know, from the comics, like Harry Osborn's been complete. Is he?
Yeah, he? Ned Leeds in the comics is actually the Hobgoblin. They changed the character completely.
Maybe from the Spider-Man cartoon that I also watched in the 90s a lot. I mean,
right.
He's not in that. Okay.
Well, what they did with Harry Osborn, really fast, what they did with this new Ned is they kind of based him, at least in looks, off of Miles Morales' best friend in the comic books. He's got a best friend. I don't know the proper pronunciation, if it's Genki or Gonkei or something like that, because comic books aren't an audio medium. But Miles Morales has a best friend that's basically Ned in these new Spider-Man movies. So that's kind of what they based it off of. So continue. I saw.
Well,
I'm sorry.
so and think of Flash too. Like Flash is supposed to be like this really imposing, athletic type jock character, and he is anything but that. I don't care what race that they choose for him, but they need to keep the spirit of the character the same. And he's not. He's like on the math club
The debate team or something.
with
Oh no, like the math leagues,
yeah.
right?
Like, I mean, so anyway, but I would like to see like a Harry Osborn character come in just because of how important Harry Osborn was to the Raimi movies, and also, I mean, we saw Harry Osborn in the Andrew Garfield movies as well. And so the fact that we have like Oscorp hasn't even been introduced in any kind of way in the MCU. I just I'm not understanding why they haven't introduced even the name, just introduce the name, like Oscorp exists within this universe, you know? But yeah,
There
like, I
not been
mean, if
any
they were going to
Easter
bring.
eggs for it?
No, there haven't.
I haven't seen anything,
Yeah, I haven't
nothing
either.
I know of.
There haven't. There were not even
So,
like a newspaper headline or anything. I think it's all like, in the contract deal or whatever. But I'm sorry. Continue. Continue.
no, so the only one thing that I would be curious, and I'm sure that the actor would be up for it, is I thought James Franco was excellent as Harry Osborn. I mean, that's James, those movies kind of launched his career. And so I don't remember what happens to his character in the third Spider-Man.
He dies.
He
He did,
dies.
does
Yeah.
he?
He gets impaled, just
So
like his
that's a bit of
dad.
a
He
that's a bit of a
sacrifices. So
speed
just
bump they're
like his
gonna struggle
dad.
to get over, I think.
Well, shoot, there goes my idea. I mean, because I remember that his,
Uncle
his
Ben.
dad, his dad. Well, yeah, I don't know. I just
You can
I think
bring
James
Dane
Franco
DeHaan
is
back.
maybe
He survived.
His career didn't survive after that film.
I mean, yeah, I mean.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that staying where it is.
Since this is a multiverse, I mean, you don't have to bring back James Franco, but I just think, incorporating characters that we are familiar with and ones that we cared about previously, I think would be a good idea.
Very nice, very nice. Well, my pick is a little biased, but I would love them to bring in a Miles Morales because he kind of got Easter egged in Spider-Man Homecoming with
Donald Glover.
Donald. I was gonna call him Childish Gambino. Yeah, Donald Glover's character saying, "I have a nephew that lives here," and then people like are forgetting that hey, there's a 5-year jump. If Miles wasn't snapped, he could be old enough that he could be, a Spider-Man now. So I would love to see them bring Miles Morales in. That could be a way for them to even say that, Sony has their Spider-Man could be Miles Morales, and they can keep Peter Parker in the MCU, something like that. I don't know, but Miles Morales has just been growing so much as a character, in the Spider-Man PS4 game, and now he's getting his own game, and he was obviously the main character in Into the Spider-Verse.
Sorry, Mike, but that just brought up a spark in my head that it's just made me sad about, like, obviously Chadwick Boseman not being around, because obviously at the end of Black Panther they were really going to focus on him kind of helping like the black community a bit, wasn't it? Like at the end of that, like imagine if like he found Miles, how cool would that have been if they got they move Peter Parker over to like a Sony universe, and actually Marvel had Miles as their Spider-Man. And like he really helps with kind of pushing the black community and stuff within the Marvel films, and it was like that'd have been really cool. I'd really like that.
I mean, that's who I would want to see brought in. But yeah, you guys have any final thoughts of
I wouldn't change
Spider-Verse?
about just your views on Jamie Foxx. Just generally, just is it good or bad? That's what I want to know. Whether you guys are happy that he's coming back or not.
It's super random because his Electro n was never iconic. No one was like, okay, so we'll take it to BVS, right? When BVS first came out, a lot of people didn't like the movie, the theatrical edition, but everybody could agree, like, oh, but Ben Affleck as Batman is great, But it was no one was saying that about Jamie Foxx. No one was saying like, oh, Amazing Spider-Man 2 was kind of lame, but Jamie Foxx, oh my God, I want to see him again as Electro. Like, I don't know why they would be bringing him back besides just, I guess, the fame that he has now and that maybe they'll think, oh, maybe there might be a multiverse or a Spider-Verse, I should say. So I could care less about his version of Electro. Like, I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it either. It was kind of weird, and I think it's just a weird...
That's why I think that Andrew Garfield isn't going to come back, and that when I've logically tried to think about it, they couldn't bring back Connors because he kind of healed himself and it wasn't the Lizard anymore. And I don't think that people were that massive on him, and I don't think he would bring the lure of a villain that lure in regards to celebrity status that Fox does.
Yeah.
Andrew Garfield not wanting to come back. Sally Fields, they don't really need to bring May back. So I think that the only real logical link would be Jamie Foxx, because I feel like they could quite easily bring Electro back. In the sense of possibly, in the way that he's saying that he's changed and stuff, they could do a story of that he's like transcended into kind of an ultimate power, that he didn't actually die, that he's maybe become more part of the element. And especially that picture that was shown that was taken down, like he's part of like the electricity in the sky and stuff. So he might not be blue anymore because he's actually like kind of transcended a human form now, and he's more of like... So I just think that that's why he's back, because he's the only logical one that they can bring back to link that universe if they can't get Garfield back.
Right.
And that's my worry, is that if they do it and they don't bring Garfield back, I'll be disappointed. Like, I really like Garfield. He's my favorite Peter Parker out of all three ones that we've been introduced to.
I think he's got the best suit.
The one in Spider-Verse, if we count that, I thought his story was probably the best Spider-Man story, and he was a supporting character in the cartoon. It was very emotive. But if we're talking just like live action, for me, Garfield was my favorite.
You guys got anything to add to that?
At least for me, like I kind of agree with Rye when it comes to, you think about it, it's just stars of this movie. Like, if I don't know how Garfield feels, like in general, if he ever wants to come back, but arguably he probably doesn't. And Sally Field, I know, had, if I remember correctly, there was some quote out there that she was kind of almost doing it for a paycheck more than anything. Like, she wasn't sold on the Spider-Man overall. Yeah. And then after that, yeah, like, you have Martin Sheen's kind of similar idea. I don't think, like, he's, like, into the comic book, like, aspects of it. So it's like... Jamie Foxx, like, I can 100% see him just being the biggest name that they could pick from. Like, I don't, I mean, all the other ones are, I don't even know what other movies they've done offhand without, like, Googling it right now. And, I mean, Jamie Foxx, whether or not, like, you like his character, he's still going to bring, like, people who are a fan of him. And he has just a big fan base, me being arguably one of them. I'm not... I don't like that he is so talented in so many ways, and it's more of just me hating on him for no
reason.
You're
a hater, bro.
Yeah, I know. But I will admit, at the end of the day, yeah, he's very talented, and that will bring people to watch it, just based on curiosity, just to see, like, what is he doing? I mean, that's what brought most people to watch a Netflix movie. Why am I blanking on that right now? But
the
Netflix
Power Pill one, right?
Yeah, Power... whatever it's called. That Netflix movie. Anyway, like, that was one of the reasons why I watched that movie. It had really...
That was a horrible movie.
I didn't mind it. I thought it was... I'm not going to watch it again, but it...
That's because you secretly love it and love to hate Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx is good in bad movies. Like, he's still good.
That is true. There was a movie like a few years back that's like him as a cop. I don't even remember it. That I watched, like Sleepless or something. Ugh, the movie's awful, but
I loved him in Horrible Bosses. You guys seen Horrible
Bosses?
Yeah, he's
good. That's my favorite. I hate Jamie Foxx, but that is my favorite one.
Tell him how you really feel.
I know. All right, Andre, you have anything to add?
No, I mean, we touch on a lot of different things. Obviously, I mean, as things play out, you know, there's going to be a lot of news release, you know, casting leaks on the plot and what it's going to be, but I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. I just hope it's not bad. I mean, that's kind of the, you know, for any of these new superhero movies that, you know, people are getting so excited about, you know, even like The Flash, I have my doubts on how good The Flash could even be. You know, people get so pumped about this stuff, and I'm just like, let's pump the brakes just a little bit. We'll wait.
Right.
So, it's exciting news. Hopefully they are able to do it justice. I think Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is probably the best possible, you know, scenario in terms of storytelling that we could see from like a live action version. Because
right.
man, that movie was phenomenal.
Movie's
it
great.
Really was
so good.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Spider-Man
animated movies can be better. Good. Comic book
here
movies,
we go.
Huh?
Here we go.
I'm just
that
saying.
Is a discussion for another time. We're talking about Spider-Man here. So Spider-Man or Tom Holland's Spider-Man 3 starts filming this week, actually. So I'm sure we'll see, you know, set photos or whatever, and maybe get a little hint at the plot and whatnot. But yeah, thank you guys so much for coming on and talking. I want to, again, honor your guys' time here. So I'm going to let you guys do your little plugs, and then we'll get on out of here. So Andre, where you at? Where you from? Where can the people find you?
Backseat Directors. Just go on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Just type in Backseat Directors. You'll find us. Also at backseatdirectors.com. Have a team of writers. The Formal Review is one of them. We've got movie reviews and different editorials. Right now, the month of October, we're focusing on, like, obviously horror movies. And we've got some great stuff on there. So, yeah, go check us out, Backseat Directors.
All right. Mr. Formal Review.
I'm a writer, like Andre said, Backseat Directors. I also have a podcast review. It's The Formal Review. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, also on any streaming service, whatever you want, Google, iTunes, whatever, and do trailer reactions and just follow me on social media. Yeah, it's pretty simple.
Sweet. Right.
I'm Ryan from liveoffilms.com, just the general movie going blog, and if you enjoy my jabbering, I jabber a little bit more on the Backseat Director podcast every other week, so catch me on there as well.
Awesome. All right, guys, that's gonna wrap it up for this little bonus episode. I want to thank my guests again. Please go follow them, Backseat Directors, Life of Films, The Formal Review. I'm gonna leave all their stuff in the description below. Thank you guys. Feel free to subscribe, tell a friend, give us a rating. That'd be great. So next episode, not even going to be next week, this is a little bonus filler, but my next episode is going to be my kind of, I'm going to part one review The Haunting of Bly Manor with Betty, my girlfriend. She's coming back. So keep an eye out for that. That's going to be coming out real soon. Thanks a lot, guys.